Well, welcome back. Welcome anew to the Further Faster podcast. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and I will be your host, your guide, and maybe even your mentor on this journey to do exactly what the name implies, which is to assist you in going further, faster, and becoming more wealthy. And of course, around here, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. And today, we're actually going to continue on the most important asset that you have in your life, and that is your health. And it's going to be a little bit different today because the theme of today is take back control of your body. Now, the inference is that, well, first off, when you first hear that, a lot of people go, okay, well, that means I got to go to work. I've got to go do this. I can do that. But the question I'm asking is take it back from whom? And it's not a rhetorical question because the answer may just surprise you. So grab a pad and paper and I'll be right back with the Further Faster podcast. I'll see you in a minute. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. So when I left you off, I said, who are we taking control back from? Well, let me preframe this whole thing by saying this may sound a little bit conspiratorial, but it's not meant to be. And my outcome for this is to get you to do, as a matter of fact, that's going to be your homework because around here, we always want you to do something so that you can get the result of whatever we're going to be talking about. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do is to do your own research. Don't just rely on me. Allow me to be maybe a second, third, or fourth opinion on something. And you may have your other beliefs, and that's okay as well. And what I encourage you to do your own homework. And then also have an open mind about what I'm about to talk to you about. Because, you know, like I said before, it may just surprise you of what's really going on out there. So having said that, and again, stepping back from, and hopefully not saying sounding like a conspiracy theorist, I'm going to share with you some things that my research over the last, I've been doing this for 36 plus years now, teaching health and wellness. And I've done a lot of research on this. And one of the greatest things is that I have had access to a lot of information, a lot of people that others may not. And that, you know, obviously you can do your research on YouTube and things like that, but I've had the privilege of being around this for a while and speaking to many, many experts on the fact. As well as part of the reason I'm spending a lot of time and have on the last few podcasts about our health is because I'm coming up on, well, as a matter of fact, just in less than a month and a half, my 70th birthday. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, I consistently get asked, what am I doing to stay and look so youthful and to be so youthful? And I don't mean youthful just in my looks. I mean youthful in my health, my energy, my vitality, and being able to become and maintain disease-free. I haven't had a cold or a flu or any disease. Or let me take that back. I have. As a matter of fact, I had COVID. And I'm sure I've had the flu. I'm sure I've had colds and things like that. But I'm not affected by them. I'm asymptomatic. And if this sounds arrogant, it's not meant to be. I'm just using myself as an example of what is possible. Because before I started on this journey of becoming healthy, I was, like most people, sick at least twice a year from flu or a cold or something like that. I suffered from a lot of challenges, health challenges, including being tired all the time and achy and all those things. And when I made the shift in my life, it was mine was a little radical, quite honestly, because I kind of went all in, but it still took, you know, several months before things turned around. And you can do it even quicker than I nowadays. So I'm going to start things off by saying this. The question that I asked was, who are we taking control back from? Well, let me start by saying this. Headaches are not a result of aspirin deficiency. And heartburn is not a result of antacid deficiency. And what does that mean? Nowadays, and by the way, statistically, more than half, I'm using United States statistics in this one here, more than half the people in the United States suffer from headaches, and a great deal of those migraine headaches. And more than half the people suffer from some sort of digestive issues, and the biggest one being heartburn. As a matter of fact, these are evidenced by the amount of painkillers, pain pills, headache pills that are sold over the counter and the amount of antacids that are sold over the counter. You would think that this is a human condition. But like I said, and by the way, I didn't make that saying up. I heard it many, many years ago that headaches are not a result of aspirin deficiency, meaning that there's got to be a root. There's got to be a cause on all of those things. And those causes are often overlooked. And we go straight for the result or the relief from those things. But the truth of the matter is there's things that are going on, let's say, behind the scenes, underneath the scenes that we are unaware of. And I have several years ago, a very good friend, Paul Pilser. He was one who really kind of got me on the tip of, or tipped me to really looking below the surface of what's really going on. And I'm going to run something by you. I'm going to give you two scenarios, and I want you to have an open mind about this. And I actually talked about this a little bit on another podcast, but here you go. If I gave you a banana and you never had a banana before, you would eat that banana and you'd probably go, this is pretty good. This is tasty. It's sweet, you know, and it really tastes good. But you would probably not ask for another one. You'd be satisfied with one banana. And if you think about it, how many times in your life have you ever eaten more than one banana? If it's most people, it's never, unless it's a little tiny banana. For most people, one banana does it. But here's the reason why. And the reason I talked about it was about chewing your food, but there's another reason underneath that. And the reason you want to chew your food is this, that we are mechanical beings as far as I'm concerned. And when I say mechanical, one thing hits, you know, affects another one. And so there's a sequence of things that happen that cause us to be this way. And us as human beings, all of us are designed to be healthy, have a lot of energy, and to be disease free, meaning fight off any diseases such as viruses and colds and things like that. And even when you injure yourself, your body goes right to work to heal it. If you cut yourself, you don't have to tell yourself to heal. It knows what to do. It will go right to it. And immediately, by the way, it'll start coagulating the blood. It'll send everything to that area to start fixing it right away. And that also is the same with every other disease. If a virus gets in your body, you've got an immune system that is designed to go there and fix it. If anything else gets in your body, it's the same thing. And the body's reaction, like I said, is immediate. So the reason I say mechanical is this. When you bite into a banana, your mouth automatically, and actually before you bite into the banana, it starts getting ready. You start to salivate. Now, what is saliva? Saliva is an acid, and it's designed to do what? Break things down. It is the body's natural solvent, if you will. But more than just break it down, that's why you want to chew your food. So the more saliva that you produce, what happens is when it breaks it down, it doesn't just break it down to get it ready to swallow. Your tongue is a direct link to your brain. So when you take a bite of something and the saliva breaks down that bolus, that food that's in your mouth, it sends signals immediately to your brain about the content of that food. Said differently, the amount of nutrients that are in that food. And the brain says, okay, because there are this level or this amount or this type of nutrients that are in that food, we only need to eat this much. Now, the thing about a banana and a couple of other things, coconuts and things like that, you could literally live on bananas alone because they contain, out of the 114 different nutrients that your body needs, they contain about 90% of those nutrients. And you could live on that. So the brain goes, well, listen, this banana contains all the nutrients we need, so we only need to eat one banana. And it sends the signals throughout the body. So you know, your hunger stops right there. Your stomach says, I got one. So said differently, the digestion and the amount of food that you would eat and the quality of the food that you eat starts in your mouth. Now, the reason I share that with you is this. Watch this. If I give you a potato chip or let's just say some French fries in a bag, you know who I'm talking about. You'll eat those things until they're gone, and you'll literally lick your finger and suck up the salt on the bottom of the bag. And you'll want more when you're done. Now, the reason that is, here it comes, what might sound conspiratorial is that the same thing happens in your mouth when you take a bite of French fries, except for what's contained in those French fries are chemicals that are designed to shut off that mechanism. Let me repeat myself. What's contained in those French fries are chemicals that are designed to shut off that mechanism. Said differently, when the mechanism is shut off, it says, wait a minute, there's no nutrition coming in here, so we need more. Eat more. There's chemicals in there that are designed to make you hungrier and crave more of those chemicals. Not the food, the chemicals. And just so you know, it's not just the oil they fry it in. There's other chemicals that are added to it as well. Now, you can go online and you can look up things like I don't know what to type into YouTube, but look up where they take some French fries from a said different company and they have some French fries and the burgers and things like that. And they put them in a beaker separately. And then they take natural foods of the same thing, natural potatoes without those chemicals, without those preservatives and everything in the burger and the fries. And they put them in another beaker container and they watch them. And over just a few days, the natural stuff starts to mold and rot and all of those things and stink and all of those things. And within 30 days, it's just disgusting inside there. But the ones that I'm talking about, the other ones that have the preservatives and have all the chemicals in it, they don't budge. As a matter of fact, there's an experiment. I think these French fries are like 10 years old. And yeah, they're shriveled up a little bit, but they don't really change color that much. The burger, the same thing. Now, why am I telling you all of that stuff? Because let's just say the powers that be have got a vested interest in keeping you eating more of that food, obviously, because it is a financial. It's from a financial standpoint. They make more money because, what do they call it? Finances 101 is it's easier to retain an existing customer, easier and cheaper than to get a new one. And so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the foods that we are eating in mass, no pun intended, are designed to keep us eating those foods. Now, what's attached to that, if you're not getting the nutrients, then guess what your body is going to do? It's going to search for those nutrients to stay alive. And the only place those nutrients are, the most abundant place those nutrients are in your bones and in your organs. That's called disease. Your bones, your organs, your nervous system, all of those things, that's called disease. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the major diseases that are literally killing us as human beings these days are directly tied to what we consume. Now, obviously, there's environmental challenges with the air that we breathe and things like that. But the truth of the matter is, whether it's diabetes or heart disease or whether it is osteoporosis or any of those things, they're directly linked to the things that we're putting in our bodies. So take control back from who? Take control back from those that have influenced you in a way. In that way that I just told you, and there's many others, whether it's commercial television, whether it's advertisements or whatever it is, that have influenced you in a way that have caused you to not just want those foods, but crave those foods. If you don't believe me, at the end of this, I'm gonna recommend some documentaries and films for you to watch. That'll be your homework. So don't take my word for it. Go look for it. Now, that's the food side of it. And it is a matter of fact, when you go into the grocery store, for example, go into the grocery store and look around the foods that are, and even those are contaminated to a great degree now, the foods that are on the outsides, the fruits and the vegetables and the meats and things like that, they're the smallest portion of the grocery store anymore. What's the biggest portion? The frozen foods, the cereals especially, and all of those foods that'll last on that shelf for a long, long time. all those foods that contain so much sugar, that contain so much preservatives, so many things that are not good for you, that are designed. And that's just one thing, like I said, that shuts off that mechanism. But to make you crave them more and more. And so who has taken control of the general population's body are, as I said, I'm just talking about the food companies and the way they advertise them and things like that. It's just crazy. Look at the candy aisle when you go into even a convenience store or a grocery store. There's a huge section for candy. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that candy is not, let's just say, rich in nutrients. And it's not just sugar and the food dyes and things like that. The chemicals that are used in there, again, are designed you to eat to keep you eating more and more of that, craving more and more of it. Inside your body, all of us have parasites, yeast, and fungus. It's part of who we are. But we also have a nervous system and an immune system that is designed to keep that stuff in check. But the truth of the matter is, those parasites, yeast, and fungus live and thrive in an acid-rich environment inside your blood. And you've got, you know, your blood is consists of a lot of different things. And two of them are alkaline and acid. You must be at least 60% on average more alkaline than acid. But they thrive in an acidic environment. So what happens is this: sugar, alcohol, you know, coffee, all of those things. And by the way, the body recognizes protein, fat, and sugar, and that's pretty much it. And so whether you're eating carbohydrates or straight refined sugar or whatever, that all going to come down to sugar, and that turns into acid. And so those parasites, yeast, and fungus thrive in there. And guess where it is? It's everywhere in your entire body, including your brain. So that is why we crave those things, because all of those organisms inside of you, they have a consciousness. And guess what they want to do? They want to keep on living as well. So they're causing you to think that way. They're causing you to crave those things. I hope this doesn't get too convoluted for you, but I hope you realize that what's going on around you does not have your best interest at heart. It just does not. How could it possibly be that way? You know, I literally just got back from an event in Australia when I was talking to this group of people. There were 9,000 people, and I showed them a commercial from, it had to be the 40s. You know, probably in the 40s or so, because it was about milk, by the way. They were delivering milk still on the doorstep in a glass container. Okay. And what I told the people, which by the way, this is another thing, you think milk is good for you because it's advertised for you. And if it came right out of the cow, yeah, maybe so. But the truth of the matter is, it stopped being milk a month ago by the time you get it. And what I mean by that is that milk has been chemically treated, and it's been heated up so much so that they have to add back into it nutrients. Vitamins, they say. You get a carton of milk, it says fortified with vitamin D. Well, why would it have to be fortified with vitamin D if it has everything it's supposed to have to take a baby calf from, you know, 100 pounds when it's born, if it's that much, all the way to 400 pounds by the time it stops being weaned? Why would it need nutrients? And the reason is because they've chemically removed the nutrients from the milk. It stopped being milk a long time ago. You might as well be just drinking a cup of acid. And I know that's radical, but the truth of the matter is, by the time your body digests it and things like that, and we wonder why. And by the way, go back to what I said, antacids and things like that. We have more acid in our system. Our stomach is designed to create, you know, some harsh acids, all the way from hydrochloric acids to different types of acids to break down the type of food. But you can have too much of it, especially if it's in your system. And so that milk, whether it's the sugar, the milk, or whatever it is that we have been consuming and been given, let's just say, been influenced to consume, is affecting us in a negative way. Lastly, I'm going to say this. We're going to take a short break here in a second. There's not one disease, I don't care whether it's cancer, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, diabetes, there's not one of them that does not carry with it a high acid content in the blood. Meaning, the more acid that we have, those things, they thrive. And it also weakens our immune system. It weakens our ability to fight those things off, to develop the defenses. And so, again, I say this over and over again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the powers that be are influencing us in a way to keep us eating and keep us consuming the things that are not good for us and keep us craving those things, keep us feeling like, I gotta have this. And so what do? Unknowingly, because, you know, let's just say not everybody gets to listen to a podcast like this, and not everybody gets to get this influence. As a matter of fact, most people are influenced by, whether it's television or social media and those things, the commercials. What are they advising you to do? Drink more milk, eat more of this, sugar pops, and this kind of thing. And lastly, I'm going to say this before we take a break, is that, like I said, when you go in the supermarket and you look at the selection of things, one of the biggest selections right now is the cereal section. Why? Because that is the easiest audience to consume that kind of food, and as far as I'm concerned. Because what do? You make some cartoons, you make some funny little, you know, advertisements to these kids and say sugar pops or sugar, you know, this kind of thing, whatever. And what does a parent want to do? Especially, and by the way, I grew up this way. I grew up eating cereal. The two worst things that you can eat in the morning. And by the way, we would get Frosted Flakes, which were, you know, corn flakes, which, you know, again, the body only recognizes that entire thing as vegetables, I mean, as sugar. And it was coated with sugar. And then we would get sugar and put it on top of it. And then we put milk on top of it. And so I already told you, all of those things are designed, they're not designed, but what they do is they keep us in a place that we're unhealthy. And we wonder why we have all these diseases and all these challenges. So obviously I'm on my high horse. I'm on my soapbox yakking. So we're going to take a short break and I'm going to be right back. And I'm going to tell you the other side of it that's being influenced you. And then I'm going to give you some solutions on what to do. And I'll be right back. Hey, what's good? It's me, Joseph McClendon III, and let me get real with you just for a second. Now, you've probably heard me talk about this before, something that I call the thieves of our dreams. Procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, and fear of rejection. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you could not only retrain your brain and your nervous system to automatically default to your absolute best thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, but you could also do the same for others that are going through difficult times and challenges in their own lives and things that are stopping them from creating the life of their desires? Well, this is what I call neuroencoding. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, these are the same tools, methods, and strategies in neuroscience that I've used to operate in the upper 5% of all of my own businesses, especially as a coach, a speaker, and a presenter for the last 30 plus years. The Neuroencoding Institute provides you with the knowledge, the tools, and unmatched support to become a certified neuroencoding specialist and guide you to the life of wealthiness. And remember, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. Go to neuroencoding.com to speak to an enrollment specialist today, and I look forward to serving you at the highest level.
You're enjoying this episode on Angel Phoenix Productions Podcast Network. To explore a complete lineup of quality programs and media production services, head on over to angelphoenix.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Angel Phoenix Productions.
Welcome back. Welcome back. If you're still with me, then yeah, and you heard on the previous session, then it tells me that you at very least have a curiosity about this, and you might be considering that this stuff that I'm talking about, these things that I'm talking about with regard to how we are being influenced and who has control or who has been influencing us thus far, then it tells me something about you. It tells me that you are maybe at least, at the very least, curious about getting a result or making a change in your life. Because that's what I want for you. My deepest wish for you is to have the energy, the vitality, to be disease-free, and to look good for as long as you possibly can so that you can enjoy your life more. That's part of being wealthy. So we left off talking about the foods that we eat and why and how they are designed to keep us eating more of those foods. And the more of those foods that we eat, the less healthy we will be. End of story. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. And so now I'm going to switch gears for a second. I'm going to talk about the other side of it because, and again, this word might sound conspiratorial. What if those two things, the food and let's just say the remedy for the diseases, are in cahoots? I'm not saying that they are, but I'm not saying that they aren't. And here's what I mean by this. And I do this regularly to large groups of people as much as 20 and 30 and 40,000 people at a time. And I'm going to do it with you. However, I am going to intervene and I'm going to assume that you're answering as most of the people that I do this experiment or this scenario with. So you may feel differently. And if you do, get the message behind what I'm about to say here. So if you are an investor, and let's say you have $100,000 to invest, and you're looking for an opportunity. Now, before I go into this scenario, this investment for you, I want you to look at yourself this way, that all you are interested in is making a profit. Forget saving the whales or the planet or doing the right thing. That's all you're interested in. Now, hopefully you're a kind enough person and a good enough person that you don't want to be that. And I would agree with you, and I don't want you to be that way as well. And for this experiment, I want you to adopt the attitude of a cold-hearted investor, and all you're worried about is making money for you. ROI, that's it. So consider that. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to come back then. You're not interested in anything else. Screw everybody and everything else. It's just about making money. Now, don't worry. You get to save yourself here in a little bit. But for now, that's all I want you to do. You got $100,000. You can invest that $1,000. And I come along to you and I say, hey, you, Mr. Cold-Hearted Investor, I have a proposition for you. And here's the proposition. My chemists have come up with a pill, and this pill will cure diabetes. And right now, there are 100 million and growing diabetics in the United States, and probably three times that amount around the world. And this pill will cure their diabetes within 24 hours. They take this pill, no longer will they have diabetes. And I'm going to charge $10 a pill. $10 a pill. And again, that's 100 million people times $10. And if you invest your $100,000 today, I'm going to give you half of the profits. Now let's do the math. 10 times 100 million, that's $1 billion. That's $1 billion. You invest $500,000, you're going to get $500 million. Just like that. No questions asked, tax-free, you get to roll with it. Now here's the question, and let me remind you, all you're interested in is making a profit. Would you make that investment? Now, again, because I can't see you right now, I'm gonna tell you what happens to an audience. Most of the time, first off, 99% of the audience says, yeah, I'll make that investment. But there's also always a few people that go, well, wait a minute, what about saving these people? What if there's another? And I say this, and there's no other offer. This is it. And they go, okay, yeah, I'll make that investment. And I go, okay, great. You just made yourself $500 million. But wait a minute, wait. Let me make you a better offer. Here's the second offer. The second offer is I have a pill. My chemists have come up with a pill, and the pill does not cure diabetes, but it does relieve the symptoms and will keep those people alive for 10 years or more. And I'm not going to charge $10 a pill. I'm only going to charge $9 a pill. But they have to take this pill three times a day for the rest of their lives. Now that means $9 times three times 365 days times 100 million and growing people. And if you invest your $100,000, I'm going to give you half of the proceeds monthly on that. Would you take this deal? Now, this is where people go, well, wait a minute, we're not curing it. And I go, wait a minute, you know, doesn't matter. You're an investor. 100% of the people will say yes. And if you're in that mindset, you would say yes as well. Why? I can't even do the math. I'm not sure if my calculator on my phone would do the math. $9 times 3 times 365 times 100 million times 10 years at least. Now, the reason I say that is because that is the model that a great deal of the pharmaceutical companies operate on. Again, if you don't believe me, go look up, you do your own research. To the tune of 75 to 80% of all of the medications over the counter and prescribed do nothing to change the disease, to heal the disease, to fix the disease. They will make you more comfortable. They will help you go along. But outside of antibiotics and things like that, most of it, it's not. It's just designed to prolong it, to get rid of the symptoms. Now, the reason I say all of that in the short amount of time that we have left is what I want you to consider is this, that those powers that be, one, I heard this the other day, they said, if you make the bullets and the Band-Aids, it behooves you to encourage war. And so keeping that model and considering that, consider this, that there is a different way to approach life. And that different way is to, first off, be aware. Awareness is always the first step. Take a look at what's really going on. Don't take my word for it. I'm going to give you some movies that I want you to watch. One of them is called That Sugar Movie. And by the way, there are tons of movies out there now. I think it started off with Cy Sperling was his name. Started the movie. It's called Super Size Me. If you've not seen it, go see it. You do your research. Go on YouTube and go down that rabbit hole. It's a better rabbit hole than to go, you know, TikTok dancing and things like that. Go down that rabbit hole. So That Sugar Movie, Forks Over Knives. You know, there's dozens of movies to go watch them. Spend the time and look at that. And the solution is get your food from a clean source, number one, and find a way to mitigate those things that are not good for you. Fruits and vegetables are good for you. That's it. If you're going to eat meat, eat it from a clean source. I didn't even get to, you know, I did on a previous podcast, we talked about it. Get it from a clean source. And what'll happen is your body will right itself. Remember what I said earlier. If you cut yourself, you do not have to tell yourself to heal. It knows what to do. So when you start eliminating those things from your life and start adding into your life the things that are good for you, your body is going to crave those things. And your immune system and your white blood cells, those are the ones that are going to take over. And you get to live a vibrant, healthy, happier life. Nobody on their deathbed, you know, that's suffering from some sort of disease says, I wish I had more money right now. You know, that money's the most important thing. They want their health. And I'm here to tell you, again, I don't use myself as some shining example of the way that things should be. I do use myself as an example of what is possible. Because if I can do it, then you can do it. And I've had the privilege of teaching now millions and millions of people to take another avenue. And I encourage you to do that as well. My deepest wish for you is that you, at the very least, take away from this that there is something else going on. So when I say take back control, take control away from the media, from advertisement, from the food that is being presented to you. There are other options. There are lots of other options. So having said that, you know, I hope this is helpful and useful to you. And remember this, life is always what you dare to make it. And fortune, whatever you consider, fortune, wealth, favors the bold. So boldly step up and dare to make your life magnificent. I'm Joseph McClendon III. This is Further Faster, and I look forward to seeing you at the top.
This podcast was a production of Angel Phoenix Productions. Explore more episodes of this show or other great shows on the Angel Phoenix Podcast Network by visiting angelphoenix.com. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of Angel Phoenix Productions or its advertisers, and may contain language that's unsuitable for younger listeners.